First Baptist Church of Redmond, December 13, 2015, A Disgraceful Christmas.
Would you please rise with me as we read together in unison Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 19, and please join with me from the Word of God as the Bible says. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. You may be seated as you look at that picture. And yes, this is correct. The title of today's reflection is called A Disgraceful Christmas. In your Bible, this will be found in the book of the Gospel of Matthew, the first chapter. There are similarities with Luke, the first chapter, but we're focusing on Matthew today. So if I were to ask you what words you happen to associate with Christmas, words on the right of our screen there may come to your mind. However, we're adding two more words today that are part of Christmas that perhaps we overlook, and those words are shame and disgrace. When we think of the Annunciation to Mary and Joseph, that's a nice word to talk about the angel that had come. Okay, Matthew 1 and Luke 1 contain similar words. Matthew's words are to Joseph and about him. Luke's is concerning with Mary. Mary found out what was happening to her first from an angel. Now, the order that we're talking about is kind of significant because Mary was going to be the mother of the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the angel told her first, Mary, you're special. You're going to have a baby. God has overcome you. Wow, how about that? So Mary was excited. Mary found out. She's engaged to get married. She spent time with Cuz, who was having a child that would be John the Baptizer. Not Baptist, not John the Presbyterian, but John the Baptizer. Now, Joseph did not have any angels float to him when Mary did. So if you recall, they're engaged. In our Jewish cultures, as in many times was the culture in that part of the world, when you got engaged, you had a period of time, and if I can just be kind of matter of fact, when you got engaged, you waited 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, and the idea was to demonstrate that you were a faithful person, you could practice, demonstrate self-control, and that you would discover if your girlfriend was pregnant from someone else. So imagine Joseph's surprise when he discovers things are different than he had anticipated. Now, very likely, I think Mary told him what was up as he says, your cloak is a little snug this week. And she says, let me tell you, this angel showed up and told me that I was pregnant and it was the Son of God. Now, Joseph was an exceptional man. But I'm going to tell you that if Joseph heard those words, that no one else had ever spoken in humanity and were true. Very likely, he became embarrassed because I'm sure his friends would notice his girlfriend was pregnant and began to say, what's up? Didn't you? And he says, not me. Well, she is? Yes, she is. Then generally that only means one thing. Because if you went through the process of engagement in this culture at this time, it was a legal contract, and oftentimes there were signatures of fixations and promises that were going around. So Joseph knew the child was not his and began the legal processions of divorce for his wife. Because they were technically married, he was somewhat responsible for her. That's why they traveled to Bethlehem together. But he was in shock. He was embarrassed. And everyone who knew the two of them, well, you know what is happening. So for Joseph, this was a moment of ultimate disgrace. Because in every other case in human history, he has been cheated on. And Joseph thinks, I'm like everybody else. My wife has cheated for me. And Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 23 and 24, I've got these verses up there, but you can just be aware of those, that passage of scripture. If a girl was engaged and she became with child, not from her fiancé, and it was not a criminal action but a voluntary one, she could be taken outside of her hometown and be stoned to death if so desired and so discovered. So the Bible says Joseph was a just man. Joseph was a righteous man who actually loved Mary. That's why they were getting engaged and going to be married. And he did not want her to get killed. Whatever she did, whatever happened, he didn't want her to get killed. So he was actually saving her life. Because if other people would have noticed and been aware and brought this up and nothing had taken place ahead of time, if she was engaged to one and he was asked and he said, not mine, and then they would assume that whoever had done that was just not going to come forward, she could lose her life. And he did not want her to die. The turning point was God sent his angel. Now I want you to notice, God did not send the angel to Joseph until he had already decided to get the rabbis and divorce his wife. They did not come early. They did not tell him what was going to happen first. Being the guy in relationship, he did not find out first. He did not discover until she had already known for some time, and I believe was visible. Changes had taken place. God waited until that moment to say anything. The angel speaks. Joseph hears. Joseph believes. And he was transformed. Verse 20, while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Spirit. So when God's message came to him at the most awkward period of his life so far, humiliated, embarrassed, the worst thing that could happen to him at that moment, God spoke to him. And God told him something that he would tell to no other human being in history. Unique situation. But God hadn't told him yet. But when he heard the message, he believed it and was transformed. His shame, his uncomfortable life, was now transformed into hope. Because in life we have shameful moments. And God does not leave us during our shameful moments. The God who knows us does not disappear. We don't know all of what that was in Joseph's mind. But we just know what he was thinking of doing because it's recorded for us in the Gospel of Matthew. That whatever he knew, whatever he found out, I'm the one that's guessing his girlfriend told him, and that he was probably somewhat incredulous. That's my guess. But I think it's a good guess. But he had no confirmation, no idea. We just know what he was thinking of doing. And in this tremendous moment of shame, Joseph discovers that God is with him. God can use our shameful moments. When I look at John 8:41, there's more than one way to understand that. I think that very likely, as Jesus became a man and began traveling as a prophet and people began to find out, who is this? Who is this son of a carpenter? Who is this person? That the stories of Jesus' life and birth probably followed him throughout his life. When he was speaking in John chapter 8 to people and he said, you are of the Father, you're the devil, just before he said that, he said, you do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we are not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Now, Jesus went around healing blind people. If you were a woman that had been promiscuous and perhaps you had a health problem as a result of that, commonly when your child was born, at the birth process, she would pass on disease to your child, and a high percentage of those children were born with vision problems, if not blindness. So that's why in other places, when someone was born blind, people would go up to Jesus and say, Jesus, who sinned? This man's father or mother that he was born blind? Whose fault is it? because that's generally what happened. So it's very possible that they're just making a flippant remark, but I think saying to Jesus, this is done with a knife to twist a little bit. Because the words about Jesus being born of a virgin, what? Who are you? We are not born of fornication. We have a father. I think Jesus is nagged by this story the rest of his life. And at our lowest, we can feel sometimes our shameful moments can never be redeemed. What have I done? I can't undo it. I can't take it back. I can't erase it. The angel told Joseph that Jesus will save his people from their sins. God can renew his strength in us. So for us, this is what God does. God can take fear, shame, disappointment, and can bring his glory instead. The cross becomes an instrument of glory. The early church did not embrace the cross because it was a sign of humiliation and shame. Roman citizens were not crucified. It was for barbarians, people who did not know any better, people who were not as good as us. But eventually the cross became an instrument of glory and a symbol instead of shame. And this is what Christmas is all about. It's all the coming of Jesus, hearing about him and believing the messages about him transforms our life and can help turn shame into an opportunity for God's grace and mercy to glorify himself.